1 John 1-7. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
And reading from Colossians 3:12-17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in a perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Christian community, how do you cover that in a sermon? We've seen some of the beauty of community by our pictures from the last church retreat that Mark Farnwell took. In your bulletin, you have a paragraph from Mennonite Church USA, how they define Christian community. We could probably spend all day sharing our own stories and experiences, good and bad, of Christian community. We gather as God's people every Sunday morning to worship and praise God. Yet it is also described as the most segregated time of the week. We have experienced the wonderful light and love that comes from gathering as God's community. And yet we have heard people say they would believe in God if it weren't for the Christians they have encountered. I've used the title Ought to Heaven Rooted in Earth from a book of prayers by Walter Brueggemann because I find it captures some of that tension between heaven and earth, between our calling and our limitations, the already and the not yet, our relationship with God and with our neighbors, the inner journey and the outer journey, worship and work, belonging to the one who was and is to come, and becoming who we are called to be. And so we gather faithfully in the grace of God, because God has called us, and because God guides us and fills us with His Spirit. Walter Brueggemann, in this prayer, Ought to Heaven Rooted to Earth, says, "We are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. We flip off the series of words too readily, but they are precious words to us because they tell the whole tale of our life, and we savor them. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, made new, made innocent, made possible. More than that, these words that tell our truth bind us to you, O God, and to your passionate truthfulness. While the words linger sweetly on our lips, we are summoned beyond ourselves, as we always are, summoned to you, O God, in awe and doxology and exuberance." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, declares that the basis of all Christian community is the grace of God extended to us in Jesus Christ. He says, "We are privileged to live in visible fellowship with other Christians, for the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer." Bonhoeffer saw Christian community not as an ideal, but as a reality we can experience only in Jesus Christ. Jesus is embodied in those around us, and through each other we are able to see more of God. Bonhoeffer urged, "Don't try and make biblical community. Instead, experience Jesus Christ by fully embracing Him in community." Remembering Jesus is crucial, for Jesus is the only way we can enjoy fellowship with one another. God's people have gathered throughout history, and God has been at work, shaping and guiding His people into community, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, and continues to do so in this time and in this place, calling us to belong to Him, calling us to become who He wants us to be, and bringing light in a broken world. In an old Hasidic tale, a rabbi asks his students, "How can we determine the hour of dawn, when the night ends and the day begins?" One of the rabbi's students suggests, "When from a distance you can distinguish between a dog and a sheep." "No," was the answer of the rabbi. "Is it when one can distinguish between a fig tree and a grapevine?" another student asks. "No," the rabbi says. "Please tell us the answer then," said the students. "It is then," said the wise teacher, "when you can look into the face of another human being and you have enough light in you to recognize your brother and your sister. Until then, it is night, and darkness is still with us." When we were serving with Mennonite Central Committee in Damascus, Syria, we met Jean Vanier, the founder of the large communities. Communities that bring light to those with mental disabilities by welcoming them to live in community with those we call normal. Bringing dignity and light to those who in Syria would have often been locked away. Building inclusive communities of faith and friendship where people share life together. Jean Vanier says, "The question for every person and community is how to remain rooted in the soil of one's faith and one's identity, in one's own community, and at the same time to grow and give life to others and to receive life from them. In community, people are called to become more. Belonging should always be for becoming. Community is not for producing things outside of itself. It is not a gathering of people struggling to win a cause. It is a place of communion where people care for others and are cared for by others. A place where they become vulnerable to one another. The soil of community changed throughout the history of God's people in the Old Testament. Kind of a congregation in formation as Moses led his people into an understanding of and the practice of being a people of God. Developing a sense of community held together by the providence of God and understanding themselves in terms of God's revelations and actions. When we look at the scripture, at the Old Testament, we see God's people struggle between light and darkness. In the Exodus, God sets his people free. They leave the slavery of Egypt, and God calls them into a new covenant and provides them with the law, with structure and discipline, and the tabernacle, worship and praise of God. A growing trust in the one who was walking with them. And the community is shaped by its relationship with God, who appears in a pillar of clouds during the day and a pillar of fire by night. And as the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. When things go well, God's people are obedient and happy. When things do not go well, God's people become disobedient and grumble. They think that God's plan is too risky. They prefer to return to Egypt. They lack faith, and as a result, they end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But finally, the time comes to enter the promised land. A change of soil, a change of place and pace. And the word God gives them is to remember. To remember those years where God walked with them day by day. To be sustained. And if you remember those years in the promised land, it is a constant up and down. People going through cycles of remembering and of drifting away. And so they demand a king like those around them. A temple they build to gather and worship God. It is a time of relative peace, security, and prosperity, but also a time of temptation and power and worshiping of false gods. And Jerusalem falls, and the people of God are scattered and left in Babylonian exile. Left to ponder their fate and find God again. Left to ponder what has gone wrong with their community, with their sense of belonging and becoming. God's people are left with what they can carry on their backs and hold within their hearts. And they remember the greatness and the goodness of God and learn again what they had been told so long ago, that God is available and sufficient, no matter what the circumstances. And so the people return to Jerusalem, a time of restoration through forgiveness and grace. Through exile and restoration, God's community discovers that God is not limited to a particular place or a specific time. They learn again to trust in the God who fulfills covenant promises and restores his people. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And we see that same struggle in the New Testament as Jesus calls his first community, the disciples, quite a motley crew. Peter and Andrew, the fishermen, Matthew, the tax collector, Simon, James, and John, who wonder who is the greatest among them, Judas. These people would not have come up together if Jesus had not called them. Called them in a new way to belong and become, to form a community of followers. Jesus draws others, crowds, to feed, to heal, to teach. As Jesus embodies God's light and love in his ministry, his life, his teaching. And yet, they all fall away at the cross. The disciples listened and learned kingdom loving, and yet we find them thrown into fear and confusion as the community of the disciples discovers their calling and their limitations at the beginning of the book of Acts, the book of the birth of the church. And so God pours out his Spirit, and hope and faith are renewed. And the first community of followers of Jesus moves on and fills the book of Acts with the spreading of God's community throughout the area, breaking down boundaries between Jews and Gentiles, between nations, and becoming communities of God's life-giving love. Through the many New Testament epistles, we catch glimpses of some of these communities, the joys, the challenges, the ministries of the early churches in Rome, the city of power, the center of the empire. The church in Corinth, with its reputations as unruly partying people. The church in Galatia, trying to use the law to control in unhelpful ways, not for the upbuilding of the community. The early Anabaptists sought new ways to belong and become the community God they thought wanted them to be. As we've heard in the scripture of Colossians, through teaching and prayer, making scripture accessible, through baptism, communion, forgiveness, and celebration, the Anabaptist formed communities. I spent a year in a Christian community in Michigan numerous years back. It was a retreat center where pastors came to be renewed. A small community of four or five of us who took care of a remodeled barn with a couple of guest rooms, and 64 acres of land with trails and gardens and woods. There was always something to do, always work to be done. We had morning and evening prayers. We had silent meals. And you remember one time we were clearing a field of rocks because they wanted to plant some trees there. And so we were almost done. It was evening. And my host father told me to drive the pickup truck where we had piled all the rocks on out of the field and said not to get stuck in the marsh area down at the bottom. Well, naturally, I did get the pickup truck stuck down there in that marsh area, but we pulled it out and got it all done. And so afterwards, we went to a little town of Nadawa. If you blink, you're through it. All it has a little hardware store which serves ice cream in four sizes, just enough bellyache and super bellyache. And so we went for a time of celebration after the work was done. And what I remember of that year in this community is the rhythm of work and worship, of work and celebration. Community is a place of forgiveness and celebration, a place where we discover our calling and our limitations, where we live from the heart, live with the Spirit dwelling within us. What are the rhythms of Charlottesville Mennonite Church, of forgiveness and celebrations? The rhythms of belonging and becoming, through remembering, through welcoming, through celebrating. A lot of our kids remember and enjoy our times at church retreat. Those are times of community, times of formation, times of celebration, of belonging, of becoming. They're times of fellowship meals, of work days in the yard, times where we bond, times where we walk with one another, times of the two poles of community, the sense of belonging to each other, and a desire that each of us goes further in our own gift to God and to others. A desire for more light in us and a deeper truth and peace. Let us be grateful that by the grace of God we are called to be God's community. May we be strengthened in our sense of belonging through worship, remembering, through gratitude, through communion and celebration. And in becoming, in using and calling forth our gifts as our story joins with God's story. Amen.